Today's daf is Kritu daf. Hey, we're going to start four lines from the bottom of Dalet Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Ila, the very end of the line. Achal ma'aser dagan v'tirosh v'yitar lo keshalosh. Okay, if you eat ma'aser dagan, tirosh, and yitar, if you eat them outside of Yerushalayim, right, this is the ma'aser sheni, you have to bring it into Yerushalayim. If you eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, if you eat, let's say, from grains and from the wine and from the olive oil, then you're going to get three times malkum. Now the Gemara asks, as we saw before, b'ha'en lokin alav shebichlalot, but these all appear in one pasuk, right? If you look, I brought on your sheet today, dvarim yud bet yud zayin lo tuchal lechob sharecha maser degan chavati rosh chavitzarecha chorob charchavitzon chavot, all that, right? You have to eat it, but you can't eat it in your sharim, meaning not in Jerusalem. So you get three, even though it's all in one pasuk, it's one lo taseh. So what did they answer? Shanehache dimi yatre cry. The pasuk has extra words. Why? Michti katavrachmanav achalta lefnei Hashem elokecha maser degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. If it had just said the first pasuk on your sheet, which is dvarim yudalid kaf gimel, v'achalta lefnei Hashem elokecha b'makom asher yivchar, you're supposed to eat before God. This is the positive commandment. You're supposed to eat before God. What are you supposed to eat? Maser degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. It already tells you all the possibilities. If you remember, we talked about this before, that maaser from the Torah is really just on dagan, tirosh, and yitzar, and not on any other fruits or vegetables, even though we do it now on everything. That's derabanan. So the Torah already specified that. So if you just have a achalta lefnei Hashem elokecha, that pasuk, you would have known bifnim in b'chutz lo. You can only eat it within the walls because it already tells you that. So therefore, lamali dekat rachmana lo tuchal lechob b'sharecha maser degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. In the second verse, which is really the, right, in order, that one comes set first, but the second one where it says the lo taseh, the lo tuchal lechob b'sharecha maser degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, it didn't need to specify which type of maser. It already specified it in the other pasuk. So therefore, it just could have said ma'aser, and you would have known that it meant gancha tirosh chavi tzarecha. Therefore, in the verse in Perek Yubet, those words are unnecessary. Since those words are unnecessary, they're extra, and therefore, what does it mean? Even though generally it's a lav shebichlalo, you wouldn't get malka for it. In this case, because it specifies each one has a separate isur. It's very similar to what we saw previously. Imeahu, but now the Gemara questions and says, if you're going to say from there, Havamina, I would have said, Hanimile ba'ase, avabalav, ema. If you would have said that, you would have just said that that's the ase, okay? But bilav ema lo, amtulahachi katabrahmana lo tuchal, leukma bilav. In other words, if you didn't have that second pasuk lo tuchal b'sharecha, you might have just thought it's a mitzvah ase, but there's no lo taseh involved. And therefore, you would have said lo tuchal ukma balav va'adayin. Okay, so therefore you needed the lav va'adayin lav shebichlalotu. So they say, and still, in other words, if you're going to say we needed the lo ta'aseh to say that it, you know, you might have thought it was just ta'aseh, but then it says that it's a lav, so that's why it needs to tell you maser degan chaviti rosh chavit tzarecha, because it needs to tell you specifically relating to the lav, it's a lo ta'aseh. But then the Gemara says, no, but adayin lav shebichlalot. In other words, even though the lo tuchal is all to say there's a lav, but it's still a lav shebichlalot. So what if it added all those extra words? So now they say no, because in kein nemakra lo tuchal ochlam b'sharecha. Masir degan chabati rosh chavit tzarecha lamali. As it could have still said, yes, it's coming to teach you it's a lo taseh, but it could have said, lo tuchal ochlam b'sharecha. You could have just said it generally. So the fact that it says maaser degan chati rosh chavi yitzarecha lamali li yichudei achila dechol chav echad. Again, this is really just stressing what we said before, which is those words are still unnecessary. And that's how we learned that you get malko for each one. Okay, now we're going to see another pasuk where they have three items. Amar of Yitzchak ka'ochel lechem kali v'karmel. Lokesh losha. Okay, this is by Korbana Omer. Okay, you can look at the verses. They're a little further down on the sheet. Bayikra kaf gimel, it says, Pasuk yud, Dabero b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ki tavo al aretz asher ani noten lechem, וקצרתם לקצירה, right? You should harvest the fields. והבאתם את עומר ושקצירכם אל הכהן. You have to bring the Korban HaOmer. If you remember, before you bring the Korban HaOmer, that's what we call chadash, the new crop is forbidden. What's forbidden of the new crop? Lechem, kali, and karmel. Okay, lechem, bread. Kali is parched grains. And karmel are the fresh stalks of grains. So you can't eat them in any form. Okay? So now, you can't eat any of those things. Let's say you eat all of them. Again, we're going to talk about, is it three? So what do they say? If you eat all three types, lo kesh lo sha. And obviously the question is going to be, v'ha ein lo kin alav shebichlalot. But didn't we say you don't get malkot on alav shebichlalot? So shane hacha. I want to point out one thing about this lav shebichlalot. The last time we mentioned lav shebichlalot, it came up in a different context, and it was talking about a bunch of things where we learn out a bunch of different isurim from one line. And in general, there we understood it to mean you don't get malkot on any of them. Here the assumption is you still get malkot, you just don't get double, triple malkot, okay, if you do a number of different things. So it's used a little bit differently, which is very common in the Gemara, where they have a term that sometimes is used to mean one thing, and sometimes it's used to mean something a little bit different. Okay, so now they're going to say, right, Ayin lav shebichlalot, says, shane hacha, obviously what are they going to say? Dimiyater cry, because the words are unnecessary. So now we're going to have to explain, and here's the chart, the first chart on the page, which is, well, why are they unnecessary? Can't we say, like we usually say, well, you can't learn this from that, and you can't learn this from that, and you can't learn this from that, and we're eventually, by the very end, we're going to get to, well, if you had two of them, so specific two, you could have learned the third, and that's going to make it extra. But to get there, we have a long-winded explanation where we're going to say, well, if you had this, you wouldn't have been able to learn that. If you had that, you wouldn't have been able to learn that. So, lema kra lechem, v'nelav kali v'karmel mine. Right, so let's say we could have had bread, and then we would have known parched and stalked from there. But no, why not? Ika lemifrach. Again, each one has a chumra by it. Ma lelechem shekein yitrabe etzal chala. Bread, you're chayav to take hafrashat chala. You're chayav to take out the chala, right? The portion for the kohen, where you're not chayav if you parch the grain or on the fresh stalks. You're only chayav when you prepare the bread. So that makes lechem more chamor, and you can't learn the others from there. Nichtov kali, velo lichtov lechem. Now, when it comes to the parched, we're going to have to say separately why we can't learn from there to bread and why we can't learn from there to stalks. When it came with bread, it was easy. We said we can't learn from bread to any of the others because this has a chumra that doesn't exist in the other two. When it comes to kali, we're going to have to separate it into two. So now they're going to say, so you could have, let's try, okay, don't write parched grains, and you would have known lechem. No, v'nelaf mikali lechem. Right, I'm there. Ikala mifrach. V'nelaf mikali. Ah, okay, right. So, nichtov kali v'lo lichtov lechem v'nelaf mikali, right? And we would have learned it from the parched grains. So they're saying, no, lechem mikali lo ate. Why? Mishum dekale ite be'ene. Kale is in its raw, it's in its form. Parched grain is, it's true you've done something to the grain, but it still looks exactly as it looked before. Whereas bread obviously doesn't look anything like the grains looked before. You've changed the form entirely. Lechem lo ite be'ene, right? It's not, you can't view it the way it looked before. Now, karmel is the raw stalks. So those are obviously, that's why you couldn't say the same thing by kali, because it's also in its form, it's even more raw form than the kali, which is already parched. The stalks are exactly as they were. So, karmel mikali lo ate, mishum de kali nitrabe etzel menachot. When it comes to the korban ha'omer, you bring it from the parched grains, but you can't ever bring fresh stalks for a mincha, for a meal offering. And therefore, there's a chumra by kali that doesn't exist by karmel. So there's a chumra by kali that doesn't exist by bread, which is it's still in its unadulterated form. And when it comes to karmel, you can use the kali for mincha, and you can't use the karmel for mincha. Karmel lo nitraba etzel menachot. Okay. Nichtov karmel. So let's try to do karmel. V'nelaf lechem bekali minei. Ikal mifrach, no, you can knock it out because you could say this. Male karmel shekein lo nishtana mibriato. You can't, it's not at all different from where it was created. right? It's in its exact raw form, as opposed to the parched grain, which is already parched, and the bread, which is already turned into bread. So therefore, you can't learn the others from there. Okay, so mincha lo yalfe. So we understand you can't learn one from the other. Nelef chadamin train, but maybe you can learn one from two. So which ones? They're obviously going to start with the ones they're going to reject first. Lo nichtov kra lechem. So let's try to learn v'nelef mikali v'karmel. Let's say it didn't say bread, and we learn from Kali and Karmel. Ikalamifrach malakali v'karmel de'it nehom be'enehom. They're both in their unadulterated form, and therefore that doesn't work. Lo nichtov kra karmel. So let's try not writing karmel. V'nelef milechem v'kali. Ikalamifrach malalechem v'kali shekein yitro b'weitzel menachot. Both of them can be used as meal offerings, whereas the karmel can't. Amar l'cha Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak would say, lo nichtov, why Rabbi Yitzchak? Because he was the one who said in the beginning that you get three malkot for it. And why did we get three malkot? Because, right, why didn't we say it's a lav shebechalot? Even though it's a lav shebechalot, these three words are unnecessary. Why are they unnecessary? Because of the following. Lo nichtov kra kali v'nelef melechem v'karmel. You could have not written kali and learned from lechem and karmel. My parachta, what would you knock out? Well, I parachta, if you want to say mala lechem shekein yitraba etzal chala, karmel yochiach. Ve'yimishum de karmel lo nishtane bebriyato, lechem yochiach. Each of the chumras that are in lechem and karmel aren't in the other, right? Karmel, it's in its actual raw form. Well, lechem isn't. And lechem, you take chala from it, and karmel isn't. So if you take each, they each knock out the chumra of the other, and you end up with saying, you actually could have learned karmel from lechem. I'm sorry, kali, the parched one, from the lechem and the karmel. I lost my place here. Lechem yuchiach. Okay, and therefore, hilkach loke dimiyater. And that's why you get malko, because it's extra. Okay, that would have been a good place to stop, but the Gemara continues with one more thing. Well, if kali is unnecessary, but actually, karmel and lechem aren't unnecessary. You need those. So therefore, ema kali demiyater, they have this interesting havamina, mechayev chada, akulun mechayev chada. If the kali is the one that's extra, then maybe what it means to say is, what did he say? Lokesh shlosha. Meaning, if you ate lechem, kali, and karmel, you'd have to be lokeh three times. He's suggesting maybe only kali would be an extra chiyuv malkot, and lechem and karmel would be one, because they're both necessary in the pasuk. There's no extra anything there. The only extra thing is the kali. So maybe if you ate, let's say, lechem and karmel, you'd only be chayav one. Or if you ate lechem, kali, and karmel, you'd be chayav one for the lechem and karmel, because those are necessary in the pasuk, and therefore they're the lav shebichlalot. And the kali is extra. So on the parched, you'd be chayav an extra one. So they're saying, why don't you suggest that? So here's going to be an interesting answer. Okay. Im kein nichtov kra. Now, what does the pasuk say? Lechem v'kali v'karmel. So here they say, note the placement of kali. It's right in the center. If they wanted to say the kali is the extra one, and that's the only one you chayav extra for, it should have said lechem karmel v'kali. It should have put the kali separate from the lechem and the karmel. So either first lechem and karmel, and then kali. Inami or nichtov kali v'lechem v'karmel, or it should have said kali, then lechem and karmel. But amai katav lekali be'emtza. Why is that put right in the middle? Hachi kamer, because it's meant to say lechem bekali nechayev bekarmel nechayev bekali. Okay? That lechem, it actually should say in the note, it says it should say kik kali nechayev. Lechem is like kali, and karmel is like kali. Basically, that means they all have a separate chiyuv malkot on them. Okay. That was all the two cases where we have, where we try to say, aren't these lav shebichlalot? Where we then say, oh no, those words are unnecessary, and that's why you get three lashes if you were to do each of the three, both when it comes to maaser, if you ate them all three outside of Jerusalem, and with the lechem, kali, and karmel, you ate them before you brought the korbana omer. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Now we're going to have a slew of cases where we're going to say, gzera shavas, look what important things we learn from gzera shavas, and therefore don't be disrespectful to gzera shavas. Don't say, it's just a gzera shava. Lo'olam alt, Amar Rabbi Yanai, lo'olam alti gzera shava kala be'enecha. Don't say, it's just a gzera shava. Shahare Pigul Echa Migufei Torah. Pigul is a central halacha in the Torah that you get karet for it. Velo Limdoa Katuv Elam Gzera Shava. And the pasuk, the way we learn that Pigul gets karet is by Gzera Shava. So therefore, don't disrespect and disregard Gzera Shavas, because look at what an important halacha that your chayav karet if you eat meat that was pigul, that the Kohen had a machshava that he was going to sacrifice it in the wrong time, and, or that he was going to either eat it in the wrong time, sacrifice it in the wrong time. So, shouldn't, right, sprinkle the blood in the wrong time, burn it on the mizbeach at the wrong time. So, don't be mizalzel in Gzera Shavas. Now, where are we going to learn this? How do we know we learn it from Gzera Shava? To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, if you remember, in Zvachim, we learned these psukim. It was quite complicated. There's psukim that kind of connect notar, and then they mention pigul, and the question is the topic of the sentence. Pigul, is it notar? What's the issue? So first we're going to learn one from the other, and then we're going to have to learn where that one comes from. Okay, so we're going to basically say, we learn pigul from notar. That's the main thing here. And then later we're going to have to say, where do we learn notar from? We'll see that also from Gzera Shava. Like a gzera shava on a gzera shava. So the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tane Zav de Bar Levi de Amar Lahalam Ba'ochlav Avono Yisai. I brought all the pasukim here so you can see. The first pasuk is Vayikra Perek Yutet. It starts in pasuk Zayin and then goes to Chet. Im Heachol Yeachel Ba'yom Ashlishi, which sounds like notar. You're supposed to not eat. Right? You can eat for 2 days, but if you eat on the third day, Pigul Hu Lo Yeratzeh. It's a little complicated because it says Pigul Hu, but even though it really means notar, okay, it's extra. Lo yeratzeh will not be accepted. Now, this is strange also because it shouldn't not be accepted. Once, if you eat notar, then it doesn't disqualify your korban. So, but here it says, lo yeratzeh, your korban won't be accepted, but your korban was already accepted and it doesn't get apostled. So there's a little bit of a question about how to understand this pasuk. Then it says, "Va'ochlav avono yisan." Those who eat this meat now will get punished. Ki kodesh Hashem chilel v'nechrita nefesh hehimei ameha. Okay, that's notar. You get karet for it. But there's a bit of an issue because it's not 100% clear it's notar because it says lo yiratzeh, which sounds like it's not really notar. In the next Gzera Shava, we're going to know how we learn that this is actually notar. The pasuk about pigul is, okay, so here it says, V'ne'amar kan v'hanefesh, so there it's notar and it's karet. So, v'ne'amar kan v'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimenu avono tisa. Okay, where's that pasuk? That pasuk is in Vayikra Zayin, pasuk yudchet. V'im he'achol ye'achel mibsar zevach shlama v'yom ha'shlishi, lo ye'ratzeh. Okay, also it won't be accepted. Hamakriv oto lo yichashev lo pigul yihyeh v'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimena avono tisa. So here, because it says lo yiratzeh hamakriv oto lo yichashev lo, it's not going to count for him. Here it says very explicitly, this korban is not going to count for him. And he uses the lashon of pigul, they say this must be pigul. Okay? It's very complicated here. The pasukim in Zvachim, we darshan all this pasukim, how to know. But they darshan this pasuk is talking about pigul, and there it says avono tisa. And in the first pasuk by notar, it said avono tisa. And in the first pasuk, it said karet. So therefore, since it said karet by notar, and since there's gzera shava, we learn out to pigul, and that's why don't disregard gzera shavas. Because look what important halachas we learn from there. Okay, second gzera shava. Amar Rabbi, so again, the Gemara says, malahalan karet, avkan karet. Amar Rabbi Simai, lo olam alti gzera shava kala beinecha. All these statements are going to start in the same way. Sharei notar echa migufei Torah. Notar is one of the basic halachas in the Torah. V'lo limdoa katuv, and also they didn't learn that you get malko from it, elam gzera shava, that you get karet for it, elam gzera shava. Maihi, what's the gzera shava? Yalif kodesh kodesh, v'ochlav avono yisaki e kodesh Hashem chilel. Okay, and that pasuk that we saw before, it says, ki kodesh Hashem chilel, okay? And uchtiv, now it wasn't 100% clear that that pasuk was talking about notar, as I mentioned. So how do we know that pasuk is talking about notar? Because it says kodesh Hashem. And it says in another pasuk, v'sarafta et ha-notar ba'esh ki kodesh, etc. So what do you see here? There it says, it calls it, you burn the notar, whatever was left. This was in the Miluim. Okay, this is in Shmuel Perek Kavtet. It says, V'imi vatermi b'sar miluim min alechem arabokher, and if you leave it over till the morning, v'sarafta tanotar ba'esh lo yachel ki kodeshu. Now there it's 100% clear it's talking about notar. It can't be anything else. And it says kodesh, and it says kodesh in that pasuk. Gzera Sheva teaches us that pasuk, where it says karet, was notar, and that's how we learn that you get karet for notar. Okay. Amar Abaye, lo olam al tigzei ra shava kala be'enecha shaharei bito me'anusato. These are, by the way, all these drashot. I remember when we learned them the first time. They're very complicated psukim, and trying to figure out how they learn these drashot is quite complicated. Interesting, they put all these together, and they say these very complicated, you know, and you might think this is a little disconnected and not great proofs. Don't disregard them, because they're very critical. So, bitome anusato, hein hein gufei Torah, velo limdoa kachuv ela migzera shava. Now, here the Torah doesn't give you all the details exactly, but they'll give you a little bit. Amarava, amarli Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Okay, bitome anusato means if a man sleeps with, okay, it's usher in the Torah to sleep with a woman and her daughter. So, let's say you sleep with your daughter, and as it says, Isha. Pasuk, if you look, it says in Vayikra Yudchet, it's on the second side of the sheet. Ervat isha ubita lo tegale. Now you might have thought that means your wife and her daughter. What if you raped someone and then you sleep with her daughter? Is that forbidden from the arayot? And it's obviously it's forbidden to rape someone, but is it forbidden mipchinat arayot? Okay, so they learn from a gzera shava. Yes. Okay, what's the gzera shava? Amarava, Amarli Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Atya Hena Hena Li Sura, Atya Zima Zima Lestrefa. You learn from the Gzera Shava of Hena to Hena, which I'll explain in a minute, that it's Asur, and you learn from Zima Zima that you get Strefa. Okay, those are two Gzera Shavas. So, what's the issue here? If you start in Vayikra Yurchet Pasuk Yud, it says, Ervat Bat Bincha O Bat Bitcha Lo Tegale Ervatan Ki Ervatcha Hena. Okay, you can't sleep with the daughter of your son or the daughter of your daughter, meaning your granddaughter. Okay, now, your granddaughter would include, if you have a daughter from someone you raped, that would obviously, this pasuk clearly includes someone who was raped, because it's your daughter no matter what, right? Whether you raped the woman or you were married to the woman. So this clearly includes it. And what does it say at the end of the pasuk? Kier batcha hena, uses the word hena. In Bayikra Yudchet Yudzayin, where it says, Ervat isha ubita lo tegale, right? Et bat bina ve et bat bita lo tikach legalot ervata sheira hena zimahi. So because hena is mentioned in that pasuk, they learn that the erav isha ubita also applies to your daughter through rape. Okay, so therefore they learn bitome anusato from hena hena, and if you notice at the end of that pasuk where we learned it from, it says zimahi. Now if you look in Vayikra perak chaf, it says V'ish in pasuk yudalid, it says v'ish asher yikach et isha ve'et ima. That's our case, right? This is where it's going to give the punishment. Zimahi ba'esh yisrefu oto ve'etein v'lo tiyeh zimah b'tochachem. They all get shreifa. So now, what did they say here? It only says isha ve'et ima, right? A woman and her mother. So now they say, because it says zimah there and it says zimah in the other pasuk, and we said that the pasuk in Vayikra Yudchet pasuk yudzayin includes Bitome anusato. Therefore, not only is it usur, we learned that from Hena Hena, we learned from Zima Zima that you get strafe for it. Okay? Also for Bitome anusato, you get strafe. Okay, that's the next Zera Shava. Next, last one. Amaravashi, Altig Zera Shava Kala Beinecha, Sharei Niskalin, Hen Hen Gufei Torah, Velo Limdoa Katuv Elam Zera Shava. Titania, Neamar Kan de Mehembam, Veneamar Baovi Yidoni de Mehembam. Malahalam b'skila, avkam b'skila. They skip the important part of the pasuk. Okay, here it's also in Vayikra Perakaf, so I brought them right after there on the sheet. V'isha sheyishkavet kalato motum tushnehem tevel asu demeim bam. Okay, and it not only is mentioned, I just took one of them, but in many of the arayot it says motum tu demeim bam. Now, what is motum tu? We don't know what that means, demeim bam, okay? But it says in the Ovi Yidoni pasuk, in Pasuk Kav Zayin of that same parak, Isha Wisha Ki Yebem Ovu Yidoni Mot Yumatu Ba'Evin Yergemu Otam Demeim Bam. There it says Mot Yumatu Demeim Bam, and it also says Ba'Evin Yergemu, they get Skila. So there we learn that anywhere it says Demeim Bam, it means Skila. Okay, we learned that also from Gzeira Shava, and that's a basic halacha in the Torah, and therefore don't disregard Gzeira Shavas. Okay, now that we're forewarned about that, we can move on to other things. Hamifatem et hashemen. So now we're back to the case of the Mishnah. If you remember, the Mishnah laid out all the things that you get karet for. You have to bring Korban Chatat if you did it b'shogeg. So hamifatem et hashemen. This is someone who makes the shemen hamishcha recipe. Tana Rabbanam. Hamifatem et hashemen lumobo olumoscho letzibor patur. If you're trying to practice how to do it, or you want to use it for communal purposes, it's patur. Okay? But lasuch, but to use it for your own, to anoint yourself with the shemen mishchai, say, oh, this must be a great oil to anoint myself with. Great, I'm going to make it. Then you're chayav. Ba'asach mimenu patur, lefi she'en chayavin, ela al sichat shemen hamishchai she'asa Moshe bilvad. If you make this concoction, so you're chayav, but if you make it to use for anointing, but when you actually anoint yourself with it, you're not chayav, because the only shemen hamishchai you're chayav for anointing yourself with is the shemen that Moshe created. And since you're not anointing yourself with the shemen Moshe created, therefore you're not chayav. Okay? So now, Amarmar, lumobo, ol manat lemosro lesibor patur. Minalan, how do we get that if you're doing it to learn how to do it or to use for communal purposes, you're patur? Atya matkonto min bimatkonta dikta. Okay, so they learn it both of the places by ktoret and the shemen hamishchai. It says don't do with the matkonet that Moshe did. So uchtiv legabe ktoret lo ta'asu lachem. So what do they learn from this? Lachem hu da'asur aval lemosro letzibur patur. When it says by ktoret, it says don't do for yourselves. So what does that mean? Right, to do for yourselves is asur, but to give it to the tzibur is not. And therefore, just like by Shemen, even though it doesn't say the words Lachem, Lo Tasu Lachem, they learn it out from Ktoret. Also, kind of Gzeirah Shavah, because there it says Matkonta, and there it says Matkonta. Okay. So then they say, wait a minute. If we're going to learn Gzeirah Shavah, Ktoret, to Shemen, we should do it in the reverse also. Learn out Ktoret from Shemen. Ma Shemen, we're going to obviously see that it's not the case. Ma Shemen ki mefatem lechetzian patur. When it comes to Shemen, if you make half the recipe that Moshe made, okay, this is interesting, right? You take a recipe, you have it, you think it's the same thing. No, you're patur. Only if you make the entire Shemen HaMishcha mixture according to the proportions, the size of the portions that Moshe was supposed to make, then you're chayav. So then you should also be, if we have this Gzeirah Shavah, Ktoret, you should also be patur if you only did half the recipe. And alama amar Rava, so why did Rava say, Ktoret shepitma lechetzian chayav, shemen shepitma lechetzian patur, that actually it's not the same halacha. By Ktoret, if you do with the half the recipe, you're chayav. And by shemen, you're patur. So amar lecha Rava, Rava would answer, Gabe shemen ktiv ubematkonto lo ta'asu kamohu. Says the word don't do kamohu. Kamohu sounds like kamohu dasur, only the way he did it. Aval chetzio shapir dami. But if you only did half, it would be okay. Ktoret, by the way, I don't think they're saying this. This is a good example where they use patur. If you remember in Shabbat all the time, they said patur, patur aval asur. In other words, you shouldn't do it, but you don't get the chiyuv, you know, the chiyuv karet. Gabe ktoret dechtiv the haktoret asher ta'aseh. It says the ktoret that you make, right, that is made. Kol asiyah diktoret, right? Sounds like any kind of making of the ktoret, doesn't matter if you only make half. Efshar demaktir pras shacharit upras bein harbaim. And therefore, if you do half in the morning, half in the evening, you're going to be chayav. Tanu rabbanan. Shemen hamishcha. So now here's the recipe for shemen hamishcha. Mar dror, which is. It's called, how do you pronounce it? Mir, I think, or more. It's like more, okay? It's the same name in English. More. Okay. More drawer. More drawer. Chamesh meot, okay? 500 shekels worth of weight you put in, okay? Kida chamisha, chamesh meot. Kinamon bosem chamesh meot. Vikane bosem chamishim umatayim, okay? This is from the Pasuk they learn it out from. Okay, the Pasuk says, I put it on the sheet. Shmo Perek Lamed, it says, Vata kach lecha besamim rosh, this is what you should take, mar dror 500, v'kin amon bosem machatzito 50 u'matayim, this is a very strange way of saying it, half of it is 250, which means the whole thing is 500, u'knei bosem 50 u'matayim, and the knei bosem is 250, and kida is 500 b'shekel ha-kodesh, v'shem inzayidim. Okay, so everything is 500, except for where it says kanei bosem, it says it's 250. Except there's something weird here, because when it says the kinamon bosem, okay, it says half of it is 250, which is a very weird way of saying it. So we'll see this in a minute. So now they say nimtzu'u kulam. Here they explain in this braita, it's elef v'shiva me'ot v'chamishim. Okay, the weight of the entire thing is 1,750, which is basically adding up these 500 plus 500 plus 500 plus 250. So now the Gemara says, Tana minyana kamash malam, what he's trying to tell us, that we couldn't do addition ourselves. Tana hakakashile. Now the Tana wanted to make sure you didn't get confused by this. Eima kane bosem kikinamon bosem. You might have thought when it says kinamon bosem, half of it is 250, and then it says ukne bosem, 250. You might have thought it means also half of the kinei bosem is 250, and that the word half applies to both of those two items. Ma kinei mon bosem machatzito b'chamishim u'matayim, af kinei bosem machatzito chamishim u'matayim. Dehavalu train alafin. You might have thought that would come out to 2,000, and everything's 500. So then the Gemara says, ve'em achinami. Maybe that really is what the pasuk means. So then they say, no, im kein nechtov kra kinei mon bosem ukinei bosem mechze v'mechze chamishim u'matayim. It would have said it differently. Amalei Rav Papa Labai. So Rav Papa now says Tabai, Kshu shokel behechreya hu shokel, or ayin ba'ayin hu shokel. Do you do it? Okay, I'll start with ayin ba'ayin. Ayin ba'ayin means you put exact measurements on either side, right? You measure exactly 500 weight on one side, you put the money, and on the other side you put the, and you weigh exactly. Or behechreya. Or do you put a little extra? We learned always about hektesh, you want to put a little extra in? Maybe you put a little extra. Or is it supposed to be exact measurements? So, what are the answer? Amarle, Rachmana katav bad bebad. It says bad bebad. Ba'at amart be'echreya, bad bebad. Sounds like exactly. V'hamar Rav Yehuda, but didn't Rav Yehuda say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea hachra'ot, alma di'ipe hechreya? Doesn't it say that God knows hachra'ot? Now, this, what does this mean exactly? Different interpretations. The way I read it, the interpretation I like better means, only God knows how to do it exact. So therefore, when it comes to God, you should always do a little extra, right, to make sure you get it right. Ela Amar Rav Yehuda de kinamon bosem amayim maite machatzito de 500 v'chamishim u'matayim b'chad zimna v'chamishim u'matayim b'chad zimna. In other words, now they're going to explain why did it say 250, half of it is 250. The reason why they said half of it is 250 is because what? They wanted you to weigh 250 and then again weigh 250 separately. Now, why would you do that? Kevan de kulun 500 havyan, nete 500 bevat achad, right? Why wouldn't they just put 500 to one? Shmamina midekamaitele the kinamon bosem betray zimne hechrea itbe. It must be they wanted you to do it twice so that each time you do it, you add a little more. If you're going to do it exact, first of all, you all know if you're going to take half, if you need to measure a whole cup of flour and you want to be exacting, take a whole cup, don't take two half cups because you're already going to mess up. So therefore, the reason why they say like that is because they want you to add extra twice. They want you to get extra. Okay, okay, and that, as we said, only God knows how to do it exact, and therefore, right, he'd prefer we do b'hachra'ot extra. Umay ba'bebad, so then why does it say ba'bebad, which makes it sound exactly? Amaravina shelo yaniach mishkal b'mishkal v'yishkol. That means you shouldn't take, okay, let's say you put your money on one side, you put your kinamon bosem on the other side. Then you might say, well, now I have all my kinamon bosem, or maybe that's the bad example. I would take the kane or the more drawer, which is 500. Now I'm going to remove the money and put the next spice opposite the other spice. No, shouldn't do that. Okay, you should always leave the money there. Okay, I think they just assume this is a more exacting way of doing it, because again, every time you might mess up a little bit, and then you'll mess up, and you'll end up messing up your measurements.
What's interesting, though, is that we started out saying that you would only get punished for doing what Moshe did.
Making it the way Moshe did it.
And
yeah.
Here, if they're talking about precise or adding more and more,
right.
So then you're automatically.
Well, I guess the question is, did Moshe do it
deviating.
Precise? Right, right. And did right. Then you're not, yeah, but they don't view that as different. Anyway, here they're talking about how to actually prepare it when you're, you know, the way you're supposed to do it. Obviously, only Moshe did it, so it's a little strange. They're talking about how to prepare it when, you know, but I guess they're talking about theoretically how did Moshe, how was he supposed to prepare it? Tana Rabbanan, Shemen HaMishcha Sha'asa Moshe B'Midbar, Mishkalo, Mishalakua Ikarin, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, this means, one second, Mishalakua Ikarin. It should be Hayash Sholko Ima Ikarin. He would cook the Shemen with the roots of the Besamim. So, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So, Amar Le Rabbi Yosef, Halo Lasucha Ikarin Eino Sipek. If you do that, what's going to happen? The oil will all get absorbed into the spices, and then you won't have any oil. And you need oil here. What happens if you start cooking things in spices? The oil gets absorbed into the what you're cooking. So, Ketzad Oseh Heviwa Ikarin Ushlakum B'Mayim. First, you cook up the roots in the water. Veheitzif Alehen Shemen HaMishcha, and then you put the Shemen HaMishcha on top. And what happens is, while you're cooking it up, the spices, the aromatic stuff, goes up into the oil. Bekalat et hareach, it'll absorb the reach. Bekipcho, and then you pour the oil off of the mixture. We all know oil rises to the top, so that's how you do it. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi nesna asa b'shemen hamishcha. V'halo nisim harbena asubo mitchilato v'ad sofo. So now he says, but wasn't the whole thing miraculous? In other words, what were you worried that the oil would get absorbed into the roots? The whole thing was a miracle. They say there were all these miracles that happened with it from the beginning to the end.
He also only did it once.
Right, he only made it once. Right, exactly.
So,
tchilato lo have ela, what's the miracle? Tchilato lo have ela yubet log. Ubonim shachit, from the beginning, it was only, Moshe made it with 12 log, which is not a lot. Ubonim shacha mishkan bekelav, Aaron ubanav, kol shivat yamei miluim. In other words, they did the mishkan, the kelim, Aaron and his sons, every day of the shivat yamei miluim. Ubonim shachu kohanim gdolim, and every kohen gadol. Umelachim, and the kings. Vikulo kayam lati lavo, and it will all still be there in the future. And how could this 12 log have lasted so long? That was the miracle. Shenemar, how do we know this? That it was 12 log? Shemem mishchat kodesh yeh zeh li ledorotechem. This will be for you for generations. That's how we know it'll be Kayam Lati Lavo. And Ze Begematria, you bet Logim Havyan. Ze is Gematria, is 12. That's how we know there were 12 Log. Tanu Rabbanan. Vayikach Moshe et Shemen HaMishcha v'yim Shachet HaMishkan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shemen HaMishcha sha'asa Moshe b'midbar, harbe nisim nasu bo mitchilato v'ad safo. So here we have a brayta that talks about it also. So he took the Shemen HaMishcha, he anointed the Mishkan, and Rabbi Yehuda says, the Shemen he did, there were many miracles from the beginning to the end. Lo ayabo ele yubet logim. Kama yore bolat, kama ikarim bolim, kama haor soref. Think about it. How much does the pot itself, the cauldron, swallow up? How much do the roots swallow up? And how much does the fire burn off? And yet, bonim shach mishkanu kelav, aronu banav, kol zayin yimei amiluim, bonim shchul konim gdolim, umelachim, vafilu. Okay, so basically we get to, right, all these people and all the kelim were used, and yet, right, this 12 log, it started 12 log, it was probably obviously a lot less after everything was absorbed, and yet it worked. Vafilu kohen gadol ben kohen gadol to umeshicha. Now we're going to get into a whole thing about who needs to be anointed. So if you are born into, your father was kohen gadol and you're a kohen gadol, it's dynastic, you still need shemen hamishcha. But ein moshchim melech ben melech, but a king who's the son of a king doesn't need anointing. You only need anointing if your father wasn't king. Ve'im, we know, in Sefer Melechim, lots of, right, it wasn't always dynastic. Ve'im tomar mipnei mamashku et Shlomo. What about Shlomo? Why was he anointed? David HaMelech was his father. Mipnei machloket Adoniah. Because there was a bit of a debate about who was supposed to be the king, and therefore Red Adoniah was trying to take over, and therefore they needed to anoint him. Ve'et Yehoash mipnei Ataliah. That was when she kicked out everybody and she took over, and then he was the one, right? She killed all the people, and then Yehoash was the only one left. He was hidden by the Kohen Gadol, if you remember. And then he comes back, right? And he had to be anointed, so it'd be clear him and not the queen, Ataliah. Ve'et Yehoachaz mipnei Yehoyakim achiv, shaya gadol me'achiv shtei shanim. Yehoahaz, when he was anointed, he was 2 years younger than his brother Jehoiakim, yet he was anointed first as king. Jehoiakim became king after, and that's why he needed to be anointed. So these are all cases where it was dynastic, and yet they needed to be anointed. Amar Mar. So now we're going to go back to the Kohen Gadol. Afila Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol to Umshicha Minalam. Where do we get this from? Dichtiv Kohen Amashuach Tachtav Mi Banav. Says the Kohen that's anointed under right from his sons. Nema Krava Kohen Shetachtav Mi Banav. My Hamashiach. Why does it say specifically Hamashiach? Hakamashulanda Afila Mi Banav. Hahu Demashach. Afilu mibanav ahu demashach havi kohen gadol v'ilo mashach lo havi kohen gadol. Right, teaches you only if you were anointed are you a kohen gadol, and if not, you're not a kohen gadol. If you remember, we had a whole thing. There's a kohen merubeh begadim. When the days when they couldn't anoint anymore, then they became sanctified by merubeh begadim, but they need something to kind of initiate them. Amar mar ein moshchim melech ben melech minalan. How do we know that you can't anoint the king? That you don't need to anoint the king of a king? Amar of Achabar Yaakov Dichtiv Leman Yarich Yamim Amam Lachto Hu Banav Kole Yamim or without Kole Yamim. So what do we learn from this? Yerushahu. Okay, it's a Yerusha. It's passed down, and therefore you don't need, because it says, right, you'll have long days, you and your sons. Umipnema Mashkuet Shlomo Mipnema Machloket Adoniyam Minalan Dichiate Machloket Bay Mashicha. How do we know that if there's a Machloket Nini Mashicha? Velo Kol Dabay Malka Moret Lamachuta. And not anyone who wants to be king inherits the malchut. Amar Papa, Amar Kra, Bekerev Yisrael. When it talks about the psukim about a king, it says you'll be the king Bekerev Yisrael. So what do they learn here? Bizman Shashalom be Yisrael. Whenever when there's peace, yes, then you're just the king. But if not, then you need anointing. Tana. Now there's a brayta. Af Yehu ben Nimshi lo nimshach ela machloket mipnei machloket Yoram ben Achav. When after Achav, Yehu ben Nimshi takes over. So he was only Nimshach because of the Machloket. So now, we're going to have a bunch of questions on this. Amai, Tepuk Leit Malach Rishonhu. But he was not the son of Achav, so he should have needed to be anointed no matter what, not only because there was a Machloket with him and Achav's son, but because it was the first time he was king. There was no one in his family who was king before him. Now note, we've moved from Malchut David to, right, the Malchut of Yehuda to the Malchut of Yisrael. This is what's missing. Malchei Beit Aviv Moshchim. Only Malchei Beit Aviv get anointed. Malchei Yisrael and Moshchim, but Malchei Yisrael don't get anointed. Ve'im Tomar, but if you want to question them, Mipnei Ma Mashku Yehu Ben Nimshi, why did they anoint him then if he was a Melech of Yisrael? Mipnei Machloket Yoram Ben Achav. That's why. He was anointed for a whole separate reason. He shouldn't have been anointed at all, but he needs to be anointed because of the Machloket. Amar Mar. Now let's go back into this. Machay Beit David, Moshchim Ve'em Machay Yisrael, Moshchim Minalam. Where do we get this from? Dichtiv, Kum Meshachayu Kizehu. When it talks about David HaMelech, Shmuel is told, Go Meshachayu, because he's the one. What do we learn from this? Zeta'u Meshicha Ve'en Acher To'u Meshicha. Only from Machay Beit David are going to need Meshicha. Amar Mar. Mipnei Machloket Yoram, Mipnei Machloket Yoram Ben Achav. I'm sorry, Mishum Machloket Yoram Ben Achav, Nim'al B'Shemen Mishcha. Isn't this a strange thing? Because of this Machloket of Malchut Yisrael, we're going to allow, first of all, out of this whole terrible thing that happened with Achav and etc., we're going to allow taking the Shemen Mishcha, which is not supposed to be used for this, and use it? How could we possibly do that? So what did they say? Ah, Kedam Rapapa, the way Rapapa explained in another case, which we'll see later, Ba'farsim Adachia, it was balsam oil, it wasn't the Shemen Mishcha. He says that somewhere else. Hachanami, let's answer that here too. Ba'farsim Adachia, it was with pure balsam oil and not with the Shemen HaMishcha. He was anointed, but not with the Shemen HaMishcha. Ve'et Yehoachaz mipnei Yehoyakim sheya gadol mimenu shtei shanim. Now we have this strange thing here. It says that Yehoyakim was older by 2 years. Umi Kashish, was he really older? Ve'haktiv, it says, Ubnei Yoshiyahu, Habechor Yochanan, the oldest was Yochanan, Hashini Yehoyakim, he was second, Hashlishi Tzikiyahu, Vavri Shalom. Okay, there's a pasuk in Devarim. It's a very strange pasuk based on the way the rabbis interpret it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz, Tzikiyahu Shalom. Okay, Yochanan is Yehoachaz. Now, what did it say? Yehoyachaz is the oldest. Didn't we just say Yehoyakim was older than him by 2 years? And Tzikiyahu is Shalom, which is going to create a problem. If it says the third is Tzikiyahu and the fourth is Shalom, they're actually one and the same. Ela lo'olam Yehoyakim kashish. He was really the oldest. V'amai kari le'bechor. Why did it call Yehoachaz the Bechor? Shu Bechor le'machut, because he was the first one who became king. How could you put the younger one as king before the older one? That was generally the way that things went. But the one who was the Bechor Yehoram, in a different case of kings, he went in the ways of his father. Yehoyakim was not a very good person, didn't go in the ways of his father, and that's why he was passed over for the Malchut, at least in the first Shlav. Amramar, hu Shalom hu Tzikiyahu. V'ha b'darei kachashiv. It lists them as if they're two different people, and yet we just said it's the same person. Umay kari le shlishi, shehu shlishi lebanim. Okay, he was third of sons. Umay kari le revi'i, shehu revi'i lemalchut. Mishum de malach yechonya kameh. B'tchila malach yoachaz, b'sof malach yehoyakim, b'sof malach yechonya, b'sof malach tzikiyahu. What happened was, after Yehoyakim died, his son Yehoyakim became king, before tzikiyahu. That's why he was fourth to the malchut. So this whole pasuk is really just talking about the malchut, the bechor, right? It's talking about the order of kings, of the end of, right? This is the end right before Nebuchadnezzar comes, because Hezekiah was the last king. Yehoyakim, what happened? He was taken into Galut. It was the earlier Galut. So once he was taken into Galut, then it went back a generation and went up to Hezekiah, and he became the king. Okay, and that explains that whole thing. Tanu Rabbanan. Hu Shalom hu Tzikiyahu, v'lama nikra shmo Shalom, shaya shalem b'ma'asav. He was perfect in his ways. Tavar acher, it's a little strange that he was shalem b'ma'asav. Tavar acher shalom, shalem malchut beit avi b'yamav. Right, it finished, it was complete, because they were taken into Galut. Umashmo, what's his real name? Mitanya shmo, shenemar. Vayimlocha mitanya dodo tachtav. Okay, they call him Mitanya in another pasuk. Vayasev shmo Tzikiyahu. But he made his name Tzikiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar did. Why? Da'amar lo ya yatzdik alecha et hadin. God will bring judgment in your time. Imtim robbi. In other words, if you rebel, then you'll be punished by God. Shenemar v'yivei'u bavela uchtiv v'gam v'melech Nebuchadnezzar malach melech bavel marad asher ishbi'o ba'elohim. In other words, he swore in the name of God that he'd be punished. You know, there was came from that. Okay, mi have Hashem and Hamishchan. Now the last question on this whole thing: how could Yehoahaz been anointed with Hashem and Hamishchan? V'hatanya, wasn't it said in the Braita, Mishen Ignaz Aron, Ignaz and Senet Aman, Utsluchit Hashem and Hamishchan, Umaklo Shel Aron, Shkedim Uprachim, V'argash Shagru Plishtim Daron Elohei Israel. All the following things were hidden in the time of Yoshiyahu, who came before all these people. If you remember, we learned this, right? The Aron was kind of hidden, right, never to be found after that. The piece of the man that they had, the tzlochit shemen the shemen amishcha, which therefore how could he been anointed? The makel of Aharon that grew the shkedim uprachim when he fought against Korach, and the argaz that the plishtim sent as a doron when they brought back the Aron. Shneamar vet klaza havasher hishivotam lo asham tasimu ba'argaz mitzido. Okay, that's the part of it, right? They said, put it in the argaz next to the aron when you bring back. Those are the gifts that they gave. So, miganazo, and who did that? Yoshiyahu melech Yehudah ganazo. Shenemar, v'yomar melech el ha-kohanim, tnu et aron ha-kodesh, v'amar Rabbi Elazar, at yasham sham, at yadorot dorot, at yamishmeret mishmeret. Okay, so they put in all, they say, so sham sham, you have to remember all these psukim. I didn't have a chance to put them on your sheet. But in a second, Sham Sham is by, and as they're going to do these, it's interesting, we started with Gzeres Shavas, we're ending with Gzeres Shavas. They have this whole, here, Asher Yivayev Lecha Shama is by the Aron, Betain Shama Melo Omer Haman, that's the man is Shama, so therefore we learn from the Aron to the, it says Yoshiyahu hid the Aron. From the Aron we learn Sham Shama to the man. From the man it says Dorot, and then it says Shemem Mishcha Kodesh Yezeli Lidorotechem. So you learn Dorot Dorot to Shemem Mishcha. Then you learn Mishmeret. If you remember, by the man it says Mishmeret Lidorotechem, and by the Makel of Aharon it says Lemishmeret Laot Lebnei Meri, right, to those who rebel. So you learn all those items were hidden in those times. Amar Papa. So now the whole question was, how did they anoint him with Shemem Hamishcha if it didn't exist anymore? Here's where Rav Papa said it originally. We quoted it before. I'm Rav Papa ba'afarsim adachya. He actually used balsam oil and not shemen hamishcha. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and we'll pick up from here tomorrow.